On this first day of spring, shelter-in-place orders, because of the coronavirus, have sent a significant portion of the world inside. Internet access has made being a shut-in a little more bearable, but there are, understandably, many questions about how robust the networks and data services are to support a change in usage, and that includes consumer as well as business. So we turn to Ray Wang, principal analyst, founder, and chairman of Silicon Valley-based Constellation Research. So Ray, in terms of tech, what are your initial thoughts about what's happening right now?
Yeah, I think the main thing here is we've got to think more strategically. We've been operating quarter to quarter for the last two decades. And when you operate quarter to quarter, you cut costs, you cut items, you don't plan for the long term. And if you're a cloud business or if you plan to be here for quite some time, this infrastructure investment is not something you want to underinvest in. You're seeing the impact today of a pandemic. You might see multiple types of, you know, black swan events occur at the same time. They seem very rare, but until you're in the middle of it and you realize how much at risk you are, it's very hard to prepare. It's very hard to invest enough to get to that level of security and safety, and more importantly, the peace of mind. And I think people need to start with that as the beginning and then work their way back.
Okay, let's turn to the consumer side and the optics of all of this. Store shelves are empty. Many people essentially locked down inside. You and I are in that boat, watching movies, TV, listening to radio. And some of that radio and TV consumption, you know, is also happening over the internet. And I think you see where I'm going with this. On the consumer side, is there any risk of overloading the web or even bringing it down?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about what happens if everybody's on at the same time. I think what we're already experiencing right now is the load inside your home Wi-Fi, right? Having everybody, like if you've got kids, they're doing like remote school, right? My wife, she's a physician, she's doing telemedicine. We're doing the broadcast right now, right? The good news is I got 1 gig connectivity and I'm probably only getting up 500 Mbps right now. But there could be a risk of that because the offices were optimized for that and the home networks were not. But I don't think we're going to take down the internet. I think the scaling is there. The internet's been proven to handle that type of attack. It's handled DDoS attacks all the time. So I don't think that's the concern. I think it's just your home network. You might want to go out and get a new air. You might want to get a new, like, you know, new networking equipment to start with that would help you out.
I see. Well, let's talk about the enterprise side of things. Are the platforms robust right now? Is that a pretty true statement that those sort of systems failures are really nothing to worry about?
You know, right now, barring any kind of cybersecurity attack that might be launched in the middle of chaos, I mean, these systems are pretty hardened. They've been designed to do DDoS attacks. They've designed to have business continuity plans. Insurers have done that. Valuations, people have done that in risk in terms of insurance for, well, a lot of companies who have big SaaS cloud contracts, you know, they've gone through that, you know, that testing. So there's penetration testing, there's continuity, there's reliability, right? And in general, cloud companies and public clouds, they've operated better than how anybody would have managed their own data center. The uptimes are so much higher. I mean, we're talking about 99.99, right? We're not talking about like 94 or 95. So these systems are pretty much performant. The other piece is cybersecurity, right? You might have 1.5 FTEs over three people covering security. These folks have hundreds of people looking at this. So I think the scale is there. I think the resilience is there. But more importantly, it's set up for business continuity.
When you're talking about the potential for a workforce to be waylaid because they're sick, you know, a lot of these systems can be run remotely as well. Is that a pretty accurate statement to make?
Yeah, we've gotten to a point where we can totally create autonomous enterprises and automate a lot of these systems. I mean, it's a long path to things being fully automated, right? But a lot of the controls are there. The ability to orchestrate different planes, whether you're on the cloud, you're in the mainframe, you're on premises, you're on desktop, all those things are coming together, right? And if you haven't done that, you probably do. I mean, if you're not getting to that hyper-converged infrastructure, you're missing out because you need that to be able to design and, you know, develop and to test and to deploy and then to upgrade, right? That saves you a lot of time. And people are looking for that. That's especially given where we are in this hybrid multi-cloud world. And these systems are pretty resilient and they've been doing the monitoring for quite some time. So you don't need people. You need some, but you don't need all these people you would have had before running these data centers manually or managing it manually. Plus, you know, everybody does have VPN remote access into these very secure networks.
Right. Well, set aside the virus itself and what it does and just focus on this idea, how mass human behaviors you know, have been really radically altered in the past couple of weeks. Is there anything that you see in there in terms of how those mass human behaviors pose a risk to web or cloud integrity?
Wow, that's a very complicated topic. When we think about, you know, the human behaviors, cloud integrity, and just general changes, the challenge really is we've always thought that we were invincible, right? I think that's one behavior, and fear has onset us, and fear has actually crippled us at this moment. If we were rational in this discussion, we'd say that, you know, this disease may actually hit us, you know, at 40 million people, 400,000 people may be hospitalized, and 40,000 people may unfortunately not make it, right? And we'd say, you know, let's start from the point is, if you had coronavirus, how would you react? What would you do as a starting point? That would change the way we would think through these scenarios. But what we have at this point in terms of behaviors is we're operating on fear, we're operating on people being scared, and they're trying to protect themselves. That's the first thing that's happening, right? And so that, you know, like any kind of cybersecurity attack, you would do the same thing. You'd secure your perimeter, you'd make sure no one comes in, you'd make sure that you understand what the problem is, you diagnose, you test, you'd understand how to resolve it, you try to find a solution, and then you try to assure that and get that out to as many people as you can. The same thing's happening. I mean, normally we look at human behavior and see what happens with in the computing environment. Right now I can look at the computing environment and tell you what's happening in human behavior, so it's kind of funny. It's a little bit ironic when you think about it.
Yeah, well, I wonder if you could riff on this a little bit then. How are tech companies, what's the new normal for them in the next 6 months in terms of how to just operate?
Well, the new normal really means that the human-to-human contact we had in large, if you have large enterprise field sales teams where they're going out, calling on customers, taking them out, wining them, dining them, showing them demos, doing demonstration projects, doing co-innovation, that's going to be harder. That part goes away. A lot of it is really thinking about where you are in customer success management, where you are in renewing sales, where you are in renewing customers. And so I think you're going to have to be a little more online, have a little more virtual presence, be a little more disciplined in reaching out to customers. It's not going to be as serendipitous as catching up for a meal or connecting in person. So I think that part changes, and that's going to impact a lot of organizations in that area. But the good news is that your marketing costs and your sales costs will come down. And what that means is you're going to try to attempt events. You're going to try like live events, virtual events that are in place, not in-person events. You're going to try to look at content and content marketing and reach out to clients in a different way. You might use this time to grab clients to do videos and customer success so that you can show them what's possible and share that information. So I think there's going to be a lot of that. And it's not like people are sitting at home doing no work. It's just that you've actually got their attention. They're not being distracted the way they were before inside an office or the commute time or the, you know, space between getting from one building to another where people have that scenario. So I think it's going to be more high touch, but not necessarily in-person high touch.
And being sequestered at home, ostensibly fewer distractions, there's still plenty of work to do.
You really have to work. I mean, there's honestly nothing to do. So if you don't have any work to do, or you don't have any hobbies, or you didn't pick up something new, I mean, you are being forced to work. I mean, all your distractions are gone. We're down to basic essentials you can go visit. So, right. And there's nothing to watch because there's no live content being created, you know, like in the sports arena or in entertainment or traditionally what you'd see. I mean, the studios are all shut down too. I mean, Broadway shut down.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a lot of companies are going to discover, by being forced to do it, they're going to discover the pros and the cons of remote work. And I imagine when this wave is done and we sort of go back to some normalcy, some things are going to stick.
Yeah, we're definitely going to see some changes. It's really about, you know, making sure connectivity is there, making sure people have access to critical systems, making sure those critical systems are secure. I think that's really one of the things people discovered. There are a couple of organizations we met with, like, you know, they might have 400 employees, but they only have 50 laptops. Everybody was working on the desktop and there was no other plan. So that hits small businesses hard, small organizations. I think larger companies had less of that, you know. So we're going to see a whole bunch of behavior changes like that. We're going to see how people are going to value time. Your actual in-person meeting, people aren't going to try to waste it because they value your time when you're in person, because it's going to be a little bit rare for a little bit, and we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah, well, that leads to this question. Then what do you think technologists will learn from this period right now?
I think the big thing to learn is that if the cloud wasn't here at this point in time, I think a lot of operations would cease, right? The New York Stock Exchange is supposedly going to all automated trading on Monday, right? Because one person was tested and they're walking into the stock exchange, they're going to shut it down, right? You're not going to have the in-person trades. They're going to have to learn how to do that. I mean, this is the last bastion of what happens when you still have manual trades along with the machines and the computers. And of course, all the algos are trading against each other. So that's, you know, that's the first lesson.
Right.
I think the second lesson is you realize how fragile your infrastructure is. I mean, no matter how hard you battle test it, you secure it, and you know, you work to make sure that it performs, it really needs to be tested at a frequent basis. I mean, these events don't always happen like this, but you know, you may have a situation where you need to, you know, recover backups. You might have, you know, disaster recovery that has to happen on the fly. You might have instances that go down, or you know, your systems may go down one region but not other region, right? I mean, imagine if you're in Salt Lake City, like you know, the date of this recording, I mean, there's middle of an earthquake in the middle of a coronavirus, right? All they need is an internet outage. Let's go hit that again. I mean, would you have planned for that scenario? Oh no, that's like a one in a million. Whoa, it just happened. So I think we're gonna be a lot more cautious. That's the third thing. We're going to think more and invest more to make sure when these things happen, we're prepared.
Ray Wang is principal analyst, founder, and chairman of Constellation Research. His latest book, Disrupting Digital Business, is about how new business models, not necessarily new technologies, are the agent of change. This is the Tech Barometer podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. You can listen to other Tech Barometer podcasts or read stories on tech at The Forecast by Nutanix.com.